One of the major differences you notice as you travel from state to state is just how differently each state regulates sales of alcoholic beverages in stores. In Oregon, you can load up a shopping cart at the supermarket with beer and wine, but you'll have to make another trip to a different store to buy the harder stuff. As nearby states make changes to their liquor sales regimes, Oregon is taking time to survey the landscape and consider what it might look like in the future. A task force has been doing the surveying at the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, recently delivering a report on possible moves forward. Rob Patridge, last time we talked to him was the Klamath County DA, is now the chair at the Oregon Liquor Control Commission and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Rob, welcome back.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Hi. So the basic setup is a large degree of control at the state level. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's really fair to say. It's considered a control state, and about a third of the states in the country are control states now.
And then what does that mean for a control state?
Yeah, we have kind of a three-tiered system. It originated with Prohibition, and we have a separation between the manufacturers, the distributors, and the sale of liquor. Because traditionally, pre and post-Prohibition, it was all a monopoly-controlled industry. And so that's originally how it started. And we've continued that tradition in Oregon, which has really, frankly, helped provide us with a lot of unique opportunities to be the number one craft brewing state in the nation because it is friendly for craft brewing, which brings over $40 million a biennium into support Oregon programs. So about 12% of the state revenue comes from those unique craft distillers we have in Oregon. So, it certainly is an interesting situation we have here in Oregon. And, every year the OLCC needs to reassess where it's going and how to improve its system. And that's why this task force that you mentioned at the top of the hour was put together.
And so who was assigned to the task force and what was the task given to it?
So I became the chairman of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, which is made up of five lay public members, including myself, who don't get paid. They serve from the various congressional districts around the state, and they're lay members. And so when I became the chair, I felt like it was very important for OLCC to reach out to its stakeholders and bring everybody together to not only discuss the system as a whole, but discuss how we can make improvements. We have several, kind of minor under-the-hood improvements that we discussed that can optimize the system and produce, it produces $442 million, Will, this biennia, to support Oregon programs and over $100 million going locally to cities and counties for the people in Jackson County. It's $5.5 million every biennium. The people in Klamath County, it's $1.25 million every biennium, so to support those local programs. So we need to continue to do whatever we can to refine the engine of Oregon's third largest revenue producer. So that's why we put it together. But a big discussion came around whether we have the right system now and where we're at. And the conclusion of the group, from the grocers who want to privatize the whole system like Washington did, to the liquor agents who would like to keep the system as a whole, to, people in the middle, everybody came to the same conclusion that we're not investing enough in our current system in Oregon to optimize the revenue. We haven't provided enough money for the agents with the rise in minimum wage and other things to be able to allow those agents to move their businesses to the right locations so that customers have access. And it's about generating revenue and customers having access and at the same time balancing our public safety needs here in Oregon.
Customers having access means just having an easier time finding the stuff they want to buy at a variety
absolutely.
Of stores?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's customer convenience, and I think that's one of the big motivators behind the grocer's interest in privatizing the system. But it's certainly something that, as a business model, we certainly need to look at the OLCC. The OLCC doesn't have the ability to revamp the entire system. So that's why we asked the legislature to either invest in our current system or look at some modifications on a go-forward basis.
So the OLCC can't make its own regulatory changes. It has to ask the legislature to set it up?
Yeah, in terms of providing new licenses and in terms of, really creating that many additional outlets. If we were to look at like major grocery that's 10,000 square foot above, then it would include like some of the, kind of higher end specialty markets, but 10,000 square foot above, that would be somewhere between 500 and 600 additional liquor outlets where people would be able to purchase distilled spirits. And right now we only have 248 liquor agencies where people can purchase throughout the state.
Is that a number that has been kept low on purpose?
You know, it hasn't. It's actually been, it's pretty, comparatively with other control-related states, we're right there. We could add, you know, somewhere between 30 and 50 additional locations, arguably. You know, it's really a function of, you know, kind of like a franchisee for a, you know, fast food restaurant. They only put them within a certain mile radius, and we look at those things because, you know, that's what we look at. Because we have an agency agreement here in Oregon, and we have private people who've invested their money to become the liquor agent in the state, and people apply for those contracts, and it's a competitive process. So we just don't throw out additional contracts right now without seeing the need. So in many places, we've added added locations when the need arose.
Rob Patridge is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the chair at the OLCC, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. And we're talking about the report of the task force that was set up to take a look at possible changes in Oregon liquor laws. You can join this discussion on the exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. If you prefer email, that's jx@jeffnet.org. Bill in Medford, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rob Patridge.
Oh, good morning, Jeff, and good morning, Rob. How are you doing?
Good morning, Bill.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Good to hear from you. I guess I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with your policy, Rob, at least from the newspapers. The newspapers, stories, and there have been several of them the past month, all seem to emphasize the interest of the various parties financially, the state income, the state revenue, and the revenue of the agents, and the revenue of the retail, grocery retailers and whatnot. And your emphasis seems to be, if I get you correctly, making this product more available to the public. I would like to see you make the product less available. I realize that we can't outlaw it. We tried that once and it didn't work. So I'm not in favor of that. But and I know that for many people it's a very pleasant, harmless product. But for a lot of people it's a very harmless product. So I think your emphasis should be on making the product less available rather than making it more available. So those are my comments. I have a letter to the editor coming out hopefully in the next few days about that.
We'll look for that as well. Bill, thanks for the call. Rob, what about that? I mean, trying not to make it that available to people.
Well, you know, I think that certainly is a position for people to take. And, you know, that's why the legislature sets the policy on that kind of thing. We're trying to create the balance between the creation of revenue and the creation of, you know, balancing that against the public safety needs of the general public. And that's kind of the mission of the OLCC. So, I signed up to fulfill that mission, and certainly I think about 60% of Americans don't drink, and so, you know, that certainly is a view. But I would tell you that the state is highly dependent upon liquor as our local government. They're highly dependent upon the taxes. We have the second highest distilled spirit tax in the nation. You know, and it's the third largest revenue source for the state. It beyond just regular income tax, it's lottery next that creates the next largest pot of money.
Well, and I was about to ask you too, Rob, if there are any patterns that you can take up from the lottery, because the complaints are similar. In fact, I think Bill in Medford calls when we do lottery segments as well about trying not to get more people to gamble, and in this case, get more people to drink. It seems like there are some similar roads you and the Lottery Commission could talk about.
Well, I certainly think that's certainly the case, and I think it is open to discussion, and that's why we've asked the legislature that they need to act, that they either need to, you know, if they want to continue with their current system and current dependency on liquor taxes, they need to optimize the system. You know, they could very well make the conclusion that that Mr. Mansfield, that Bill wants to make, is that you know, we shouldn't have it available. I think, you know, he certainly has a legitimate point there. All we're trying to do is we're set out with a job to do, and that's the job we're trying to do, is balance the needs of the state versus the public safety and, you know, and community health issues related to alcohol.
And the number again was $442 million to the state every biennium, every 2 year period.
That's the projection for this for this upcoming year. This last year it was the last biennium was $396 million. Were generated. So, you know, it's a substantial piece of the budget. You know, and while Bill brings up the point related to alcohol, you know, and more of a temperance kind of argument, there certainly is. I find it fascinating that now there's an initiative on the ballot that was put on a month ago that would put OLCC in charge of the marijuana regulation. With the marijuana legalization, as our neighbors to the north in Washington, which privatized liquor, which made it more widely available, and they legalized marijuana at the same time. And the Liquor Commission, that's another issue the Liquor Commission faces now, because that current initiative that's out there would put OLCC in charge of marijuana regulation. So we continue to look at these things, and in our dependency on vices in Oregon to fund our tax system.
Is that something of a daunting prospect to think about the OLCC not only managing alcohol but managing marijuana as well?
Well, it certainly is. It certainly is, and is very nervous. You know, there's only two states that have are attempting to do it, in Colorado and Washington, really to any great extent on the West Coast. And so we are we're in close contact with them. We're watching the ballot measures. The legislature is considering sending out a competing ballot measure that would provide more firewalls around marijuana regulation. They're running into huge problems, public safety problems related to, you know, driving while stoned in Washington and Colorado. So we are, you know, it's a tough issue to wrestle with. And as a DA, for Klamath County, I'm happy to be chairing the OLCC, to be at the table to, you know, to highlight those public safety concerns as we continue to move forward. But, you know.
All our calls thus far coming from people named Bill. This is Bill and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about changes to liquor sales in Oregon with Rob Patridge, the chair of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission.
Hi, thank you very much. I have an opinion and then a question. I'll stay on the line after I'm done with those. First off, my opinion is I've lived in multi-states. Some states have have heavier controls than we have in Oregon, where if you want to buy even beer or wine, you have to go to like a special kind of store. It's not sold in like every other supermarket or convenience store, which are open 24 hours a day, like in Oregon. And then they have liquor stores that are only open on certain hours, Monday through Friday, not even Saturdays. And that's where I've seen that, and then I've seen Oregon. And I think we got a very unique system. You can buy the easy alcohol, like beer and wine, 24 hours a day, you know. But the hard liquor, you have to buy at a state store, which has hard hours. So it's not relatively available for people to buy and go get in the middle of the night and get totally wasted. And I don't think we should have a hard liquor available in all stores, like grocery store, mom and pop, convenience stores, or Safeways, or anything like that, because that'll just make it just that much more acceptable to the general public, and I think it's acceptable enough. And I'm not a teetotaler, but that's my opinion. And then along the lines of the marijuana issue, I think it's a godsend what we have now. Like you brought up, I think the state, the state stores where you buy hard liquor should be the only place you can buy marijuana. It'd be completely regulatized, easy. We already have the system, and keep those hours that they can't get it, no, certain hours like Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 or how late they're open, normal hours, but not in the middle of the night. And what's your opinion on that? And I'll stay on the line.
All right. Thanks for the call, Bill.
Well, I would tell you, one, the commission doesn't have a position on marijuana. It's personal, you know, any opinion I would share would be my personal opinion related to marijuana. I'm opposed to the legalization of marijuana. I think there are substantial arguments from a public safety standpoint and otherwise that in a public health standpoint that I don't believe are in favor of it. But two, the way the current ballot measure is written, it is not in favor. The OLCC would never own marijuana, and it wouldn't be pushed through the state stores right now as Bill contemplated. It's a total private system. The state would just kind of come in and be the regulator and make sure that things were done, you know, that, you know, kind of like we enforce alcohol laws now, that, you know, it was age appropriate and everything else. But it would not be it would be more like tobacco with the OLCC as the regulator. It would not be set up.
Rob, do you have
the current liquor stores?
Mm-hmm. Do you have 5 more minutes? Because we're at a jumping off point.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, Rob Patridge, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, chair of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. We're talking about possible changes in the way OLCC manages alcohol in Oregon. This is a long-term process, but you can join us to talk about it at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. You talked about potentially changing reinvestment of the revenue. Where are some of the places where there seems to be a need for reinvestment in the current system?
Well, you know, currently what's happened is that we've capped the amount of revenue that the agents, the 248 agents, can get. So consequently, we haven't gotten the reinvestment in the capital infrastructure that they have in their own stores. We haven't had stores moving. We haven't had signage and people. And so we're getting complaints about people don't know where the liquor stores are, and people don't know and people don't like the neighborhoods potentially that the liquor stores are located in. People don't want to skulk in and out of some liquor store, and I'm not suggesting that that's the place normally, but I'm just saying in several locations we have some issues. So we've got to deal with them as contractors, but we also have to deal with the revenue upside. You know, they're business owners who are basically kind of buying into a state liquor franchise, and they're not going to be willing to invest that money unless they have the money available. And because we've capped their compensation, even if they sell more, they can't do that. So the state's really got to look hard at making sure that they get if we like the current system as it is with the 248 stores, with maybe a few additional stores that we allow the business owners to have enough money to put those in Class A locations so that people can know where the liquor stores are, feel safe going there, and that it's done in a responsible manner.
Capped compensation, so are they just paid on a square footage basis?
No, so they're basically paid 8.8% is what their profit side is. So they make 8.8%, and out of that 8.8%, they have to pay their employee wages, and they have to pay overhead and for lights and, you know, any of the expenditures that any business would normally pay. The problem is there's no way for them to have any upside, and they're capped out so that we have to go to the legislature every year to even get approval if they make more money. And a couple times the legislature hasn't given them the 8.8%. They've given them like 8.2%, even though they sold more. So it's really created an awkward situation.
And so, Rob Patridge, is there a fair amount of turf protection going on with the current system? I think you alluded to this already, that grocers and liquor stores and distillers and distributors all have different areas that they certainly govern right now or have a piece of. And
yeah,
it sounds like they're not really willing to make huge changes that could potentially dent what they're doing.
Well, I think everybody has a substantial financial stake in what goes on. You know, certainly the agents have a monopoly on the business, so they're really not quite as interested in having it in the grocery stores, even though they're willing to have the discussion. The grocery stores obviously want it because it's a value-added item that attracts people into their business. The wine growers lost about 25% of the shelf space, even though the amount of wine sales haven't gone down in Washington. They've lost 25% of the shelf space, so people are very concerned about that. The craft distillers like kind of a hybridized system, or like the ability to have more of their product out there, but by the same token, they don't want to totally privatize the system, because a lot of those craft distillers, which make up 12% of the state's revenue, have gone away in Washington because, you know, the big box retail groceries basically only carry the top 100, you know, liquor kind of brands. So everybody, and the beer people, don't want to lose any shelf space either. So certainly everybody's got a finger in the pie, and then the state is looking at the big pie and saying, you know, from the temperance argument of restricting liquor to the full-blown privatization, where are we at? 50 states and 50 different liquor systems. I sit on the National Alcohol Control Board, which meets, and it's very interesting to hear, you know, that we have 50 different states and 50 different systems for putting getting alcohol to the consumer. So,
hence the introduction, pointing out the fact that the first thing you notice when you move from state to state is how different the liquor sales are, which is really the case.
You know, absolutely. And we have to choose what's right for Oregon and how we strike that balance. But we aren't optimizing the revenue from the state under the current system we have. Everybody agrees on that. So I'd rather see us optimize the revenue for the state if we're going to continue with the current system. You know, if we need to do something else, if we need to do as Bill Mansfield suggested and roll back the restriction on liquor, that's another way to look at it. But, you know, the other fascinating thing that we look at, Jeff, is, you know, as I talk with my friends in Southern Oregon, everybody asks how come liquor is so cheap in California. Well, those border stores are certainly selling, and they're some of the highest selling stores in the state of California, but they have a lot less tax on their distilled spirits than we do here in Oregon, and that's why they can offer them at a cheaper price, because we are sin tax dependent on here in Oregon. So, you know, that's the other question that I always get from people. Well, why is it so expensive? Well, that's because we're dependent on the tax here in Oregon.
So, Rob Patrick, just a few seconds. What are the next steps then? What's the timeline here?
So, we're talking to the legislature now, and hopefully we will get a bill coming forward in the February legislative session to have a substantial discussion related to this. If we can't get something passed in February, we've been guaranteed that it will be on work plans for the 2015 Oregon legislative session. So we are hopeful that we've kicked off the debate, and Oregonians need to have a discussion, and we appreciate you being on the program. It's great to hear both Bill's perspectives.
All right. Bob Patrick, Oregon Liquor Control Commission Chair, thank you for joining us.